Netcare says it welcomes the outcome of the investigation into the shutting down of St. Augustine's Hospital in Durban a few weeks ago. There were 119 confirmed COVID cases among staff and patients, and the report suggests 14% of all COVID cases confirmed up to the end of April in the entire province of KwaZulu-Natal can be traced back to this particular hospital outbreak. Now, three trusted experts from the University of KwaZulu-Natal carried out the probe. One of them was chief specialist and head of the Department of Infectious Disease at UKZN, Professor Yunus Musa, who joins me on the line now. Prof, good afternoon. Thank you very much for speaking to us today. How exactly did the spread of COVID occur within the hospital?
Thanks, Joanne, for inviting me to speak, and good afternoon to your listeners. You must remember that the nature of hospitals are such that patients are kept in close proximity of each other in a single ward. And there is not only that, but you also have nursing staff, etc., that are required to go from patient to patient doing vitals and examining patients. So the nature of the interaction is such that any germ that is spread by contact spread is likely to be moved along unless people take particular precautions about hand washing and preventing that type of transfer. So it makes sense that in a hospital setting, an organism like the COVID virus that gets in could easily spread to the hospital.
Right. So you don't believe that infection controls or COVID precautions were inadequate in the hospital when the outbreak occurred?
Well, you must remember infection prevention control involves hand washing and involves wearing a mask to protect patients that might be exposed to somebody who's secreting the virus. So what is important is that individuals make sure that with every interaction that they have, that they wash their hands before the interaction and wash their hands after the interaction. That is critical to prevent the spread of a virus like the SARS coronavirus. And with all due respect, people try to practice that as best as possible, but these things do fall apart sometimes when people are engaging in patient care.
Why was the first case of the virus not detected, Prof?
The first case of the virus that got you talking about at the St. Augustine's Hospital?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, the first case of the virus getting into St. Augustine Hospital was from a patient who had actually come in with symptoms that by no means suggested that she had the viral infection. And she was an elderly lady that was confined in a nursing home. So it was not possible at that time to have really suspected that this individual has been infected by the COVID virus. Because there was no history of travel, there was no history of exposure to somebody who had the viral infection, and this was a lady who, by most no stretch of the imagination, had left where she was and moved around. So it would have been very difficult for anyone to have considered her to be a suspect at that time.
Prof, what does this probe in general tell us about the amplification of the virus and just how easily it occurs?
You see, the virus is spread by droplet spread. In other words, people, when they speak, they are fine stream of saliva that comes out that is so microscopic that nobody can actually see it. So it is that type of spread that occurs from droplets. And the other major way in which it is transmitted is by contact spread. So if somebody touches an area where a droplet has fallen, it'll get onto their hands, and then if they touch somebody else, they can transmit it. So those are the two most common modes of spread. What is probably driving the spread of this infection is that individuals that are pre-symptomatic, that is before they develop symptoms, are actually secreting the virus. So because you will not know that you are infected and because people around you will not know that you are infected, no particular precaution is taken, and therefore individuals are put at risk before a patient becomes symptomatic. Once an individual is symptomatic, it's easy because they know they have symptoms, you know they have symptoms, so people would distance from each other. That's why it is required of people to do physical distancing, even if the individuals around them don't have symptoms. It's a precautionary measure to protect yourself against pre-symptomatic individuals.
So what are your recommendations in this report, Prof, which are presumably going to be useful to hospitals in general as they navigate this virus?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things is the high degree of vigilance that you need. That the moment you have an individual that comes to the hospital with symptoms of the COVID, they should be immediately tested and segregated from the other patients that are not infected. And if there is an individual patient or staff within a hospital that develops symptoms that suggest COVID, is to immediately isolate that particular individual and have them tested. That's probably the most important way in which you can prevent a case within a hospital that spreads the virus within the hospital. What is also very important is hand hygiene. It is extremely important that with every interaction that an individual within a hospital environment, for that matter, even outside of the hospital environment, but now we're talking about within a hospital environment, it is critical that every time they touch something, they wash their hands, and every time before they touch anything, they wash their hands. In that way, you can prevent anyone that has got virus on their hands from getting onto inanimate objects that might become a source for infecting anyone else that touches that inanimate object. So those would probably be the most important lessons to have taken out from the hospital. Also, a third thing that might be important is that you try as far as possible where you have got patients that have got infection from COVID and those that are not, is to try and minimize the intersection between these patients. In other words, you don't move patients that have the infection out of the ward into other wards, because individuals that will carry the cross to another ward would land up spreading the virus in that ward. Those would probably be the most important lessons to have taken out of this investigation.
Professor Yunus Musa, Chief Specialist and Head of the Department of Infectious Diseases at UKZN, thank you for speaking to us this afternoon.